It's time for Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio. A look at real estate and property management in interior Alaska. Alaska Realty Today, brought to you by Next Home Arctic Sun Realty. Now for your hosts, Kirk Maynard and Jamie Napolsky.
And no Lisa.
Hi, I'm Jamie Napolsky, and we are happy to have you join us today. And in the studio, we have a guest, so we're going to have you introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Matt Merriman. I'm a State Farm agent. I've been in agency a little over 12 years now.
Man, we've been doing this for 5 years. We're just talking off the air, and we've never had somebody insurance come on.
I know, so this is exciting. So, Matt, tell us a little bit about yourself. Like, how did you get into insurance, and then kind of a little bit what you do at the agency?
Sure. In a former lifetime, I was a military officer, came up here with the Army, did 7 years active duty, a couple year-long trips to Iraq. Last one was with the brigade on Wainwright. That was 2008 timeframe. Decided to try something different after that. Tired of getting a shot up and blown up.
Right.
And kind of led me on the path. I was going to the MBA program up at the university and getting close to wrapping that up as well. And when the government shut things down in 2013, I kind of took that as the sign to do something different.
I remember.
Nice. Nice. And so then you got into insurance. And tell us a little bit about what you do at State Farm.
Yeah, so I made the transition over to the insurance world, tied in with there was an agent who retired. And so I met with him and found out about what it meant to be in the industry and how basically our job is to help people. At the core of what we do, it's trying to educate people on what services are available, making sure they have the correct coverage relative to their priorities, and answer any questions they have. I always kind of joke nobody comes out of high school saying, I want to be an insurance agent.
Right.
but once you find that the core of the profession is helping people, it really gives you a sense of purpose and what your role is supposed to be.
Yeah, that's great.
That's awesome. So do you do homeowners insurance only, or what else do you provide?
There's about 100 different products and services we do. The core, you know, auto, homeowners, life and health insurance products. We can touch other things outside of those. They've done partnerships for things like pet insurance and all kinds of other stuff. So at this stage, there's pretty much not a whole lot of stuff we can't do. And so part of that's just getting to know our customers and finding out what's important to them. And then if there's something relevant, we'll try and match up to what their needs are.
If I remember right, it's congratulations on the new building, right?
Thank you.
And you, where are you guys located?
So we're on 1600 Indiana Ave, which I jokingly will say right off of University Ave, although I can't get a university address. But it's right at the corner there. We're right next to Wentz Dental and then Golden Heart Veterinary Services. So not too far from the past location. It's just right around the block from our previous location.
Okay. So most of our listeners are buyers, sellers, investors. I think we were talking at dinner the other night, and I just don't refer anybody to insurance. Do you, Jamie?
I don't normally just – well, no, I lie. I normally get a couple people that will ask me what insurance I have, and I'm actually with State Farm. And just because the ease – I do recommend anybody that has given me referrals. So if I have a couple clients that are with Geico, so I might say, oh, I have a client that's with Geico, and they seem to like that insurance company. But if they ask me specifically why I'm with State Farm, the package deal, the ease, the local agency, and so I will have them ask because they are coming up from the lower 48. So what are we using here?
I just always seem to be looped out for some reason. You know, I've been doing this 22 years. I just maybe a couple times people have asked me and I've recommended them, but I don't know if it comes from the lender, if they're just people are just dialing around and finding, you know, Googling and deciding on insurance agent, or just going wherever their automobile or, you know, other insurance providers are.
Yeah. And I think a lot of it is driven from the lender. I think the lender says you need to get your insurance right away. And then we're kind of looped out of that part of the conversation. But probably in the last 2 years, I've gotten more and more calls. So maybe I'm going to say 1 in 5 of my clients will ask me who I'm using or if I have somebody, or they'll ask me specifically, like, I've seen this building or I've seen this commercial. Do you recommend that? And I can only say, you know, I don't have experience with this company, or I know maybe one person that's using that, or I can give you and maybe another client that might share why they're utilizing that.
Yeah, and we do have a fair amount of people that are moving here from other states, so they might be with a company that doesn't do business in Alaska.
Yes.
there's a lot of uniquely Alaskan things that we come across. So
yes,
I find that it's very helpful when they have somebody with local knowledge and experience to help guide them through the process. Sometimes buyers are buying it sight unseen, or you know, not being able to physically walk through the premises of their new home. So we try and make it as easy as possible, give them some information on just Fairbanks and Alaskan life in general, just to help make that transition as smooth as it possibly can be for them.
I just hit the 25-year mark with USAA, but they in the past have been kind of rocky with the uniqueness of Alaska, whether it be zoning or just, you know, our rural residential, and they freak out because they consider it a rural property and now they don't want to issue insurance on it. We're like, no, that's not what that means. And so that's just it can be different with outside lenders. So I can appreciate that. So where do you normally see them in the process when they're purchasing a house? Do you get them day one or mid-drift? Or
my preference is as early in the process as possible, because there's a handful of things out there that really can influence how smooth the process goes for buyers and sellers. And one of the biggest things in our world is eligibility. You know, if they are happen to be purchasing in a home and if it's in a higher fire danger area, there's extra underwriting requirements that come along with those kind of properties. And so if we're integrated towards the end of the process, we can't always deliver all that information in advance. And then and instead, the experience is, hey, you need to do this, this, and that, or the policy won't issue. Up front, if I can kind of walk through all the requirements with them and say, hey, in this area, you know, this address is showing in this level of zone, here's what you would need in order to be eligible. Every company's got different eligibility requirements. I'll just say that with the things that have happened in California and Hawaii and other places recently, it seems like the focus is really getting down to some of the finer details on, hey, can this fit with the company? And so I just want them to know that up front as early as possible, you know, get an idea of what the quote would be like, how that would factor into their payment and their financial aspect of everything. It's always nice when there's no surprises and everything issues perfectly as quoted. But if there is some kind of work that needs to be done, you know, that it can be identified before they're in that stressful time frame of trying to close and go through signing all the documents, we don't want to ever see that hold up a deal.
Yeah, and we occasionally see it, not too often, but occasionally we're letters that they're waiting on insurance binder. We're like, really? It's been 40 days. You guys don't have that wrapped up yet. So I appreciate that, and it's good to know that they need to pretty much hit the ground running day one once they get under contract on a property.
Yeah.
So what does the behind the scenes process look like when they give you a call and say, hey, we've just purchased a house, we need to work on insurance? What happens?
Hopefully it'd be earlier than that, but I will say that has happened.
I'm sorry, not purchase. We just got under contract on a house.
Yeah. What I would say is typically a lot of times we'll get integrated when it's the seller reaching out first saying, hey, we're putting our house up on the market. And there are certain things that sellers need to do, you know, once their house is no longer occupied, once they've moved contents out of it, there's some maintenance that needs to be done in the policy to make sure they have the appropriate protections in place. A lot of times the seller might end up referring the buyer to us saying, hey, my house is insured at this place. Why don't you go ahead and get a quote? So step one is we always will build the person in the system. We'll ask them a handful of basic questions about them, you know, get an idea if they've had previous claims or you know, what kind of deductibles and things like that that they're looking at. After that, the process is really about the structure. You know, what's the type of foundation, the siding, the age of the roof? You know, what kind of condition is it in? Is it in one of those danger areas or not? You know, after we work through that side of it, you try and help the customer get an idea of if your place was a total loss, if it burnt to the ground today, could you rebuild that in today's construction prices, not assessed value, not market value?
Good point.
But in replacement costs, could you rebuild what you have now? And that's, you know, I see that there's a lag. You know, we tend to think about that assessed value. You know, what's the tax man getting us for?
Right.
What's the market value? But it's all about replacement costs. Can you rebuild it?
I'm so glad you said that. And I've coming from somebody who's gone through two house fires and a flood. One house fire was I was a kid, but our house burned.
I'm not laughing that happened to him. It's
really,
just,
Jamie?
It kind of seems like you are.
If you're just joining us, Jamie's
he has the worst luck of stuff. He has the worst luck. If you're just joining us, though, we do have a guest speaker. We have Matt in from State Farm. And I am mocking that.
In the last 10 days, I've had a colonoscopy.
I've had
kidney surgery.
I
had a finger surgery.
His finger blew ballooned up. He's been through house fires. It's just, I swear if it's going to happen, it's going to happen to Kirk. So I just, whenever he's like, I can't do this. And then I'm like, oh no, what's happened? He's like, bad things. I'm like, okay. So
I won't be offended if Kirk doesn't get a quote from me.
Yeah,
right
no,
away.
You should not insure him. That's why he's with the other company. Yeah. I'm like, you should not go to State Farm. Don't go to my company.
No, I'm so glad you, I want you to finish, but then I have a couple different questions, but yeah. I appreciate you hit on the replacement cost versus the market value.
Yeah. And that's an emotional event. I mean, as somebody who's gone through losses like that, it's not just the, hey, this is the stuff that was damaged or destroyed, or I can't replace these items. There's emotional impact that happens with it. There's that trauma of losing things, not knowing where you're going to stay until your house is fixed or rebuilt. And so when you have that local presence to help interact and help you get in touch with contractors or, you know, figure out the extent of the damages, a lot of time it's so traumatic. You don't, what do I do next? You know, what are the things I can do? Well, we see this stuff all the time. We're here in town. We know the different entities involved with stuff. And so as far as that local touch and that side of everything, it helps make a horrible situation at least a little bit easier to navigate with stuff versus, hey, just call the 800 number.
Awesome. So what type of things are they getting you documents? Are they, you just answering a series of questions? And then
a lot of times, if it's something major, like a house fire, it's, hey, do you need some money right away for toothbrushes and clothing and blankets? Do we need to get you checked into a hotel? You know, do you have a place to stay for a few days? So it's some of that initial triage to the process. The other things will be, okay, you know, does electricity need to be shut off? Do we need to get generators out there? I always tell people as early in the process as possible, try and find a good contractor to get out there and get an estimate done as far as the extent of the damages and to really narrow down what the proximate cause of the damage was.
Yeah, in our house fire, so it was a 5-alarm fire. It was, I think, because our house is over 3,000 or 3,500. So it was kind of a bigger deal. But yeah, USA just sent us $5,000 for, like you said, incidentals. Yep. And to get you into a hotel. Yep. Just to while you're figuring things out. But it was electrical fire that started it. And so they actually flew up somebody from Texas, an investigator, to get with the fire chief to, you know, really look into the cause of the fire. And sure. So it was quite the process.
Yeah.
So the whole process if a buyer gets a hold of you day one, they're seeking that insurance binder. What's the length of time normally to get them bound?
I mean, I can get an application generating about 15-20 minutes from start to finish if they have all the information we need. Good pictures front and back of the structure really help, because I want to make sure we get those core components, the right roofing, the right siding, the right configurations, the square footage. Some of that stuff we can find off of different websites, you know, publicly available, the boroughs pages and whatnot. But the information as far as how the inside level, you know, maybe they got custom countertops or maybe they've upgraded certain features. There's been some interesting things I've come across in Fairbanks properties that you would have no idea
really
existed anywhere else. So I would say, you know, if there's anything unique about the property that wouldn't be in kind of average home, help me get an accurate quote for you so you know the price that you're getting is something that would be relevant for you.
I think, Jamie, that last one we did on Timberbrook, I think the buyers had to go out and take pictures for the insurance company. But for me, it's pretty rare. And like you said, I think you guys are pulling off different websites of where you can get that information. But occasionally, yeah, I'll have buyers that need to go out and take photos for the insurance company.
When we moved in, our shed had a chimney. Which we didn't really notice,
of course,
because
it
didn't have anything in it.
That's called a mother-in-law apartment.
Yeah. And so, but it was, it wasn't connected to anything, but the chimney part was still up there. And so State Farm called and said, we noticed from the aerial photos, your shed has a chimney. So it has a heat source. And both my husband and I were like, no, it doesn't have a heat source. And so they were like, can you take some photos? Just because we'd have to insure that totally differently if that shed is heated. And we were like, yeah. And then we realized, oh, we see what you see. So, of course, we took video and took whatever. So it must have been heated at some point. It must have been.
Like a smokehouse or something?
I have no idea what they used it for. We don't know if maybe it was going to be a chicken coop or if they were going to heat it or if they built it and then removed the heat source. But we took it. And then, of course, the State Farm agent that we were working with started laughing and was like, oh, we forget it's it's Alaska. So I'm sure it was going to be something at some point. But, I mean, it's just so bizarre some of the things we have run into.
Mm-hmm.
Or even just some of the showings I've been to lately, I'm just like, oh, that's going to require a photo. I mean, going to require a photo. So I think we're about ready for our break. So we're going to head off into a break, and then we'll be right back with Matt from State Farm. So if you want to stay with us, that will be fantastic.
Alaska Realty Today with Kirk and Lisa Maynard returns right after this on 97.5 FM KFAR Radio.
Each week, people are saving big time. With the radio station's weekly 50-50 Friday offer, there's simply no better way to promote your business, as our 50-50 Friday promotion airs every hour, every day for a full week on 8 of Fairbanks' most popular radio stations. There's simply no better way to get the word out about your business. So if you have a grand opening plan, maybe a big sale, special event or promotion, or just want to get the word out, this is the best way to let the public know about it, as your business receives more than $10,000 in promotional value over the course of 1 week. With your ads playing constantly, as well as being promoted live by our talented local radio announcers. And the best part, all that it costs you are some gift certificates. It's 50-50 Friday from the radio station, which is why we have local businesses sign up again and again and again. Call us today and tell us you want to promote your business with 50-50 Friday. It's the best way to let Fairbanks know. With the radio station's weekly 50-50 Friday offer, there's simply no better way to promote your business, period.
Hi, this is Kirk and Lisa Maynard with Next Home Arctic Sun Realty.
We've been handling residential, commercial, and property management in Fairbanks for decades.
And nobody knows the market better.
Selling season is here, and the time to sell your home is now.
Here at Next Home Arctic Sun Realty, we offer exceptional visibility through high-end photography, along with Matterport 3D tours to showcase each home.
And each office is independently owned and operated.
So call us today, 456-4653.
Or online at nexthomearcticsun.com.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30, brought to you by the Tanana Herb Company, followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon, Compo's Outdoor Show at 12:30, Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m., Explore Fairbanks at 1:30, The Drive with Glacier Garage at 2 p.m., followed by Building Alaska with Jen Solar. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. Now, we return to Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by Next Home Arctic Sun Realty. Now your hosts, Kirk and Lisa Maynard.
And Jamie. We're working on our intros and our mid.
It started
break,
right.
So.
It started right. Mid
it did.
Didn't go
yes.
right. All right.
So off the air, we're talking about flood insurance. If you want to dive into that real quick. And for some, I'm showing a property auction out in Salcha this afternoon. And I mean, the picture, you can see the Tanana right there, and it says it's from Flood Zone A. And I asked him how much the other agent, how much the insurance was. And he said $400 a year, which I mean, I've seen that river eat houses. And so it's always think, oh my God, it's going to be $4,000 a year. You need to take that into consideration. He's saying it's $400 a year. So what goes into, I mean, maybe the structure's so far off the river that it's okay. And I've seen stuff, you know, where the house is in Flood Zone X, but the lawn goes down to the slough and it's right. in Flood Zone A. And so I've seen a lot of crazy stuff.
Yeah. And there's been a lot of changes, speaking specifically to the National Flood Insurance Program, as far as how they've zoned things, map revisions, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Some of the rates I saw when I opened my agency were a lot higher than what they're quoting at now. So as those changes have come down, it really has changed premiums significantly from things that would be, you know, thousands of dollars to instead hundreds of dollars. In the past, you said, you know, one of the big things was getting an elevation certificate to generate the accurate quote. They've now moved to more of like a zone determination form. A lot of times the lender will have it saying, hey, your house is in this spot. And then you can enter that into the system to generate the quote for
okay.
it. All of our quoting, so our partnerships with the National Flood Insurance Program. So normally a buyer will come and say, hey, the lender's requiring coverage in this area. We've got the address. They'll get us a couple pictures of each of the structures on there, and then we'll take and put that information into their quoting system. With the National Flood Program, there's some nuances to it that are different, completely different from what I do on the homeowners insurance side of the equation. So they have some limitations as far as the amount of coverage on structures and the amount of coverage on contents, $250,000 on the house, $100,000 on contents.
Okay.
It does come with different deductibles. So most in, you know, the more stereotypical homeowners policy, you have one deductible for all that stuff. In the flood world, there's multiple deductibles. Sometimes people will not choose personal contents coverage.
Bad idea.
But, you know, different ways that those things can be handled. And I think it's really important for the buyer in particular to know what they're signing up for, what constitutes a flood event, you know, before something happens. Structures, if they're below the base flood elevation, is what you'll see with the highest premiums.
Right.
And I've seen a couple of deals that couldn't go through. You know, the seller couldn't sell them because the flood insurance.
Into the BFE.
And so that usually typically ends up in a foreclosure kind of situation if they can't sell it.
So what's the process if they don't? Do we get an engineer out there to do a survey to determine the base flood elevation?
Yeah, elevation certificate. If they're really trying to get that specific detail as far as the structure's height relative to the base flood elevation. There's some resources in the borough for the floodplain administrator. Sometimes there's information on file from previous owners.
Somebody told me that it's possible for that flood elevation certificate to carry over to the next property owner.
Yeah, a lot of times you can use a pre-existing certificate to get the information that you need. Sometimes there's what we call a letter of modified altitude or a LOMA letter that's out there that classes it in a zone X versus one of the higher risk zones. So zone X is a preferred zone. Usually it's the lowest cost way that you can get coverage on stuff. But same thing, if the lender's saying, hey, we need this, or sometimes the customer will say, I really want this, you want to get that coverage going as early in the process as possible. A lot of times the lenders will need it as part of closing. Sometimes the lender will require that the buyer pays the first 12 months of premium out of pocket, and then they'll pay for all the renewals. So, you know, if it's, hey, I'm closing today and I need a flood insurance policy, that isn't always enough time to generate and get you something accurate and go through the nuances of the coverage so you really know what you're paying for. So as early in the process as it comes up is ideal from that side of it, just to make sure there's no hiccups with the closing.
I just want to touch base on the personal belongings. Again, having been the current house I'm in, been through a fire and a flood, how important it is to document what you have, and you don't know what you have until you actually lose it, and you're like, oh, yeah, and you start going through the stuff. And it's just so important. I think the insurance companies will appreciate it. They know that, you know, when you're putting a spreadsheet together with your loss contents, that, you know, it's believable because you've got video to back it up. But, I mean, people have, you know, belongings that are, and some of the stuff is artwork, and you can have stuff that has been handed down, and it's just, I should say document, and spend the time, just go through your phone and video, you know, everything. We're talking attic space, basement, shoes, I mean, everything. Twice we've had to put a contents list together, and it's just, we learned from the fire to do that, and when we had our flood, then, you know, we were able to, you know, put a spreadsheet together and send it to the insurance company and get that stuff replaced. So super important to do that.
I tell it to all of my customers on that side, and it probably sound like a broken record with them, but the pictures or video, the biggest benefit is to you as the consumer, so that you can jog your memory. These are all the things that were in there. It's not uncommon, you know, as you're still dealing with the chaos of everything else going on, to go to try and use something. You're like, oh, the halibut gear is gone.
Right.
Oh, the tool's missing. You know, sometimes these claims will take several years before all those contents are out there. And it's important to understand inside of your policy with whatever company you're with, what limitations they have for different types of losses. Fire losses, usually pretty straightforward, easy to administer from the claim side. You just need that inventory, the supporting documents on things. Let's say it's something like theft. Well, theft can have all kinds of different limitations for different classes of property. So, you know, when in doubt, I would say meet with your agent, have somebody really kind of go through the information for, hey, here's what I'm covered at. Make sure there's no gaps in everything, and make sure you understand the limitations on anything special. If they have special limits, you don't want to find out after you've had $50,000 in guns taken that your homeowner's only covers a certain amount versus what you actually had taken,
right?
Or whatever item it is.
Right. I think after all the fire things came, like all the fire alerts with all the evacuations, like the last one was up
this, in the summer.
Hay,
or?
Yeah, this was it. Haystack.
Haystack.
Mm-hmm. And so we've lived through that growing up in Alaska. And so we have a file bug out box that my parents just have instilled in us. So, like, you know, if you have to, you grab your passports,
and we have a firebox.
Yeah.
And actually because ours went up, it started from the hot tub wiring, and it went up to T11, and it went up into the attic.
Right.
And everybody's like, why don't you guys have smoke detectors in your attics? But nobody does up here.
But
it came down and it went right onto the firebox.
Right.
And look, we had that and had all our passports, birth certificates, all those important documents. And so,
but if you have to evacuate,
exactly.
You have your box to grab. And then we also, so I was in high school for the very first fire that we were going to potentially have to evacuate. So you have to imagine that we didn't have cell phones with. Yeah. So we had a video recorder, and my mom was like, just walk through the house slowly and record everything.
Smart choice.
And, because we were like, she was like, there's no way I'm going to remember how to inventory this without a video for me to catalog everything if we lose the whole house.
And Alaskans, like, we accumulate a lot of stuff.
Right.
Like, the longer we're here.
So true.
Yes. And you do. You think, I mean, you're like, you can remember your big toys, your four-wheeler, your whatever. But when you start thinking about tools and you start thinking about gear and you start thinking about tents and things you have in your shed. And, I mean, you think about every time you go out and then go, oh, forgot I had that. Or forgot I had this tool. Or forgot I had this ladder. Or forgot. And then you add up how much things cost these days to go replace some of that stuff. It's outrageous.
And the firefighters try. I mean, luckily we left our keys in the car, and so they open the garage doors and pull vehicles out to try to save those. They took art off the wall and put it under, you know, under the cushions because, you know, they're going to spray chemicals everywhere.
Right.
And so, I mean, they tried hard to save what they could, but they can't always. And,
no.
I mean, you never know when you're going to have a fire. And I don't know if you guys are, you know, what Pulse Point is, the app, but it went off the other day. We had like 10 fires within like 12 hours, like an arson was running around. And it's just, but you never know when there's going to be a fire. So really get after your contents.
Right. And I think you can easily update. You know, if you keep a video or do a couple videos and then you just think, oh, okay, I think I try to tell my clients on move-in day, whatever that move-in day is, to pick like let's say the 31st of whatever. So if they move in, pick the 31st, like New Year's or the first of a year, and go and replace all your smoke detectors and go replace everything. And then that way, and then stick a label on it. So, you know, every year you're just going to replace all those things. You can do the same thing with that video. Just, every year I'm just going to kind of do a little update refresher of things I might've gotten, or do an update refresh video of that kind of stuff. And it seems silly, but it's not silly when
it's not silly at all. It'll help you keep from losing out on money on the table.
Yes.
You know, when you've got your coverages that you're paying for and you've got the corresponding loss, the whole point of the coverage should be to get you restored back to normal as efficiently as possible. But the thing that slows it down a lot of the time is, number one, getting the inventory. Hey, here's this item. I purchased it roughly about this long ago. It cost me this much. But then try and find that thing in Fairbanks right now to buy it. And so if you've had a catastrophic event like a house fire, you know, you're going to want to start buying replacement things early in the process, not in the last couple months before you're at the end of the coverage window time frame on stuff. So we never want to see people where they've got the coverage in place. They're just not able to get through the process fast enough to get everything, replaced in time.
Yeah.
Can you tell us the difference between maybe insuring a single family standalone versus a duplex versus a townhome versus a triplex or fourplex, and what different investors or buyers can expect?
Yeah, so basically in my world, how I would differentiate most of those is going to be your single family residence is going to be a homeowner's policy, not typically rented out, maybe some limited Airbnb kind of operations or things like that, but not long-term tenants, multiple units involved. It's usually the main family that resides there, and then maybe they do some little other things. Those are very straightforward, you know, pictures front and back of those properties, you know, verifying what they need in contents coverage, seeing if there's any endorsements that they need as far as their location. An income property, you know, one of the biggest things for owners to be thinking about is the loss of rents coverage. Okay, if my rental property burns down, how long do I have coverage for so that that income stream, especially if it's financed, isn't disrupted by this claim? You know, having good up-to-date lease agreements in place. I'll tell landlords in particular, you know, when you're leasing somebody, you know, one of your units, have you thought through whether or not to require renter's insurance as part of the transaction? Is your tenant showing you proof of coverage so that if they started the place on fire, if they froze it up, that there's some avenues as far as coverage for those things? A lot of times tenants might think that if the place catches fire, that there's coverage from the landlord's policy for all their contents. And at least in our world, that those are two separate things. So when it comes to income properties, you know, a lot of times getting the owner to really think through the documentation side of it, what the revenues and expenses of said place are as they're documenting everything. And then thinking through the procedures with the tenants, you know, how they want, do they want to be listed on a policy? Do they just want proof of documentation? I'll say the age of apartment buildings is one thing to factor in. There's not tons and tons of brand new construction going on these days.
Right.
So the age of a lot of our buildings around town are getting older and older, and that's factored into underwriting standards and questions and things like that. So if you're buying, you know, one of those kind of properties, definitely reach out to your company early, early in the process to make sure it's something that they can do. And what kind of information they would need. The size and the age of those kind of buildings are going to be one of the biggest determinants. Also, the number of units inside of that property of how it would be classified with whatever company it was insured with.
Yeah. And what great information. I'm so actually I have a bunch more questions, but we got to go. It always happens. So maybe we can bring you on another time. But Matthew, if somebody's on the market to get insurance, how do they get a hold of you?
When our phones are working, I should say that in our new office right now, we're having problems with inbound calls until they send a guy up tomorrow to hopefully replace the broken piece of equipment. But normally 907-452-6015. Or if you want to come by and meet us in person, I'm happy to visit with people in person there. My website's www.mattraymond.us. So we can also correspond that way. We can text. So right now we've got text capacity. So if you need to get a hold of us, the fastest way right now is send us a text message. We will call you back as fast as humanly possible.
Great. Thank you so much for joining us in the studio. And we stay tuned for Behind the Mission.
With United Way.
You have been listening to Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio and streaming live at KFARradio.com. To hear this program or past episodes, simply log on to KFAR.com and click the Archives tab to find Alaska Realty Today with Kirk and Lisa Maynard from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty, right here in Fairbanks. This has been a presentation of KFAR Radio, produced by Glenn Anderson, a Last Frontier Media Active production.